some praise this morning. You're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you. We magnify you this morning. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated this morning. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. There's a lot of people who didn't believe that. Wow. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to start with the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We're going to start with verses 5 through 7. I decided this week as I was going through and getting this lesson ready, I decided to do something off the cuff, and I just pulled out some paper and a pen, and I just started writing the lesson out, which I normally don't do. I normally have my laptop out, and when you don't really write a lot anymore, everything's digital, you know, send an email, send a text. Really haven't wrote anything in a while. And after about 30 minutes, my arm was burning, and I realized that, like, I just got through the first portion of Scripture. You realize, man, how did people used to do this? Oh, God is good. Amen. Joshua 1, 5 through 7 says, "No man, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant command thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Amen. The resounding theme that we've been discussing in these Sunday morning adult Bible study, adult Sunday school lessons, has been the covenant. And we've been talking about how God walks in covenant with those who fear him, those who obey him. And right now, at this point in time in this lesson, we're at a point during this journey for the children of Israel where we've gone from Numbers and we've gone past Deuteronomy, and where God was instructing the people on how to be faithful in the covenant. And we're beginning to go into the historical books of the Bible. And the covenant has been the theme. And going all the way back to September 28, I remember Sister Jessica got up here and she asked the question, what's a covenant? And I remember people saying, oh, it's a contract, it's an agreement. And that's right. And even throughout the lessons where, even on October 26, she gave a lesson on Moses, and Moses giving a covenant to the people, the Mosaic Covenant. It's just been this resounding theme. And I like to look up definitions of words, and there's two different ways I like to do it. Number one is through just doing a basic definition in a modern-day dictionary, and covenant is defined as a formal binding agreement or promise. But what I also like to do is I like to see how words have changed over time, because words mean things differently now than they did a long time ago. And so there's a website I like to go to, and it's the Webster's 1828 Dictionary, and where they've tried to preserve this dictionary from 1828. And I like to see what the difference between the definition. Really, honestly, for this one, it's not too much, but they do a lot more words. A mutual consent or agreement of two or more persons to do or forbear some act or thing. A contract, a stipulation. It is created by deed in writing and sealed and executed. So it's just really interesting. And really, honestly, that's not the only thing that they say, because it also, in the Webster's 1828, they actually include scriptures in their definitions and talk about how there's also biblical basis for these things as well. It's really interesting if you ever get a chance. So Sister Jessica began talking about the covenant and God-given covenant, the people. She talked about Moses. Now, Pastor Phil, he taught on the Ten Commandments, and he was talking about the covenant that God gave the people and obedience, and that through obedience to God and his word and the gospel and that salvation, that we are bestowed the blessings and promises of God. But I want to take a minute to talk about the covenants that God gave the people. Because it was really interesting, especially in this portion of Joshua, where we start reading about what Joshua did as they started going into the promised land. And when you start looking at covenant and you Google what are some of the covenants in the Old Testament, depending on what site you go to, there could be 7 covenants that God gave the people. There could be 8. There could be 9. I read someone said 12. Someone said 2, which was interesting. But really, there was a basis of agreement that there were 5 major covenants that God gave the children of Israel. And some of those were unconditional covenants. When we talk about an agreement between two parties, a lot of time there's conditional things. When we make an agreement in business, I will provide a service, you will provide payment. That's the agreement, that's the covenant that we're going to make. And when there's an unconditional covenant or an unconditional agreement, that there's no basis for what you have to do versus what you're going to receive. And God gave unconditional covenants to the children of Israel. And the thing about unconditional covenants is that it depends on God's faithfulness, number one. And then number two, it needs to be interpreted literally. And number three, that it will never be repealed or replaced because of the sinfulness or the faithlessness of Israel. And number four, they are Israel's eternally. And one of the things that's really interesting, and the last point, is that they were made with Israel themselves. And specifically not the church, which I found was really interesting. And me and my wife got into we've been talking about this lesson all week. And one of the interesting things that I asked her was, what would have happened if Jesus showed up on the scene and he went into Jerusalem and he started telling the people that they need to repent, and they did? Anyone ever thought about this? Now, you see, God... get a really bad case of cotton mouth while I'm up here. I'm sorry. But God knew of the stubbornness of the children of Israel. He knew how stiff-necked they would be. And so when Jesus went in, he knew that they were going to reject him. And so the Jesus dying on the cross opened the door for the Gentiles and the church to come into play. But what would have happened? And I don't particularly like what-if scenarios. I really don't like doing it, but it was a really cool thought process of what would have happened had the children of Israel actually accepted Jesus as their Messiah. Would the church actually exist? Would we actually be here today? It's a really interesting thought process. So, the 5 major covenants. Number one was the Noah covenant. And that one, what was the scripture? I didn't write the scripture down. Oh, no. That's the one scripture I didn't write down. Do you have that one? It's on the sheet that says Noah. It's off to the side. Genesis. There we go. Genesis 9:11. I knew I had it. Thus I established my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. It's a major covenant that God gave the people. I'm never going to flood the earth again. Second one. The Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12 and verses 1 through 7. But verses 1 through 3 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now these two, so far, unconditional. He doesn't ask you to do a single thing. Now, he told Abraham, get out of your country. And Abraham did. But he said, basically, you've done that. This is the blessing for you. It's unconditional. And part of it, there's a lot of other things and a lot of other scriptures that go along with it where God was talking about the land that he would give them and all the, and so there's a lot of other parts to this. You know, I'll make you a great nation, descendants as the stars of the sky and seas of the shore and everything, sand of the shore. The third one was the Mosaic Covenant, and it goes from Exodus 19 through Exodus 24. And this covenant was not unconditional, but required Israel's obedience. It required them to follow the law that was given, which the Ten Commandments, the moral law, and it gave them civil law, ceremonial law, priestly activities, and different rules for due when sin occurred. Then, we're going way forward, so we'll eventually get to this. There's the Davidic covenant, where God speaks to David, and I believe that was 1 Chronicles? There we go. And it shall be when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. And God spoke to David and said, I'm going to set up a throne with your descendants forever. There's an interesting nugget that told Peter this morning about something that happened with Solomon's descendants, but that's for another time. But basically, I'm going to set up the kingdom, and your seed, your bloodline, shall be on the throne forever. And then the last one is the new covenant. And in this one, it says, it should be the next one. There we go. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, that I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God knew his people would fail to keep the Mosaic covenant. This covenant, God's promises, it promises that the law won't be on tables of stone, but on the hearts of the people. And this is a covenant that Jesus initiated, and we are waiting for its fulfillment. So, what does all this matter? Why am I going through all this? So, and that's a very good question. Hopefully I'll answer it. We see at the beginning of Joshua, God has already given the Abrahamic covenant, the Noah covenant, a land covenant, the Mosaic covenant, all these things. God miraculously delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, and he blessed them on the way out. And even with such a great deliverance, it still wasn't enough to stop doubt and fear to creep into the nation. Through a bad report of 10 spies, Israel began to doubt and murmur, even though God had brought them out miraculously to the edge of the promised land. Thus began a 40-year journey that God sent them on through the wilderness until all these people and doubters had passed. And now they make their way back to the land. They're getting ready to enter. Joshua is now taken and placed as the leader of Israel, the one to lead Israel into the promised land. And if he can pull up Joshua 1, 1 through 9. So this portion of scripture, God begins to speak to Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, and the land which I am given to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This portion of scripture is God speaking to Joshua. God is speaking directly to this man that was chosen to lead. And he begins to tell him, hey, Joshua, follow the law of Moses. Follow this that I gave him. Don't turn away from it. Don't go left. Don't go right. Stay on it. Don't let it depart your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Then I will make your way prosperous. This is God speaking to Joshua. He's not speaking to all of the children of Israel, but directly to Joshua. Now, this isn't considered a major covenant by anything, but God is speaking to Joshua and giving him a promise. Joshua, if you just do what the law says, just like Moses did, I'm going to make your way prosperous. Nobody will be able to stand before you. Joshua, if you just meditate on this word day and night, Joshua, if you don't let it depart from your mouth, then I'm going to give you, and it's not just success, I'm going to give you good success. That's amazing. It's very interesting because the wording that's used in verse 3, I have given it to you, Joshua, as I promised to Moses. Verse 5, just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous because you will cause the land, people to inherit this land. Verse 7, follow the laws of Moses and you will have good success. Be strong and courageous. In verse 9, don't be frightened nor be dismayed. God is with you wherever you go. Joshua, God is speaking to Joshua, saying, this is the promise that if you follow my covenant, I will be with you. Now, for the rest of chapter 1, Joshua begins to talk to the children of Israel. And he begins to talk to them about passing over the Jordan and going into the land. And in Joshua 1, 16 through 17, Joshua begins to repeat all these things. And the answer Joshua says, all that you command us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sayest to us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. That sticks out like a sore thumb. That just blows my mind. The people responded to Joshua. Joshua, God is speaking to Joshua. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. And you know what the people said? He's the Lord your God. This covenant wasn't for them because it wasn't personal. They said it was, he is the Lord your God. Not a single one of them spoke, he's the Lord, my God. They didn't say he's the Lord, our God. He's your God. Imagine Pastor Peter getting up here and saying, God wants to fill you, but not me. God wants to fill those people, but not you. The people responded. See, that it's not for us. There's a gap right here. It's your God. But we will follow what you say. We will do what you ask. But he's your God. So as I mentioned before, God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And he promised Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. I will bless those that bless you and curse those who curse you. And through you, Abraham, all the earth shall be blessed. But if we fast forward to Genesis 26, verses 1 through 5, There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heavens. I will give your descendants all these lands, and in your seed and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Said all these things that I promised to Abraham, Isaac, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Now let's fast forward again to Genesis 28, 10 through 16. And Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there were angels of God, ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in your seed, and in you and your seed shall the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. God spoke to Abraham. Here's my covenant I want to establish with you, Abraham. Then God came to Isaac and said, here's the covenant that I want to establish with you, Isaac. Here's the Jacob. Jacob, here's the covenant that I want to establish with you. Do we see a pattern growing here? Even though these promises were for Abraham and their descendants, but each person God came to and he spoke to them and he said, I want to establish it with you now. I want to establish it with you now. God doesn't care who your mommy is. God doesn't care who your daddy is and what their relationship with God is. God wants to establish something with you. God wants to be with you. You have a neighbor that's living for God and doing great things. Wonderful. That's wonderful for them. God wants to do something with you. The children of Israel told Joshua, he's the Lord, your God. Now, one interesting thing. Now, they cross over the Jordan. God miraculously parts the waters, and he establishes Joshua, and the people said, okay, we know the Lord's with you now, and an angel of the Lord appears to Joshua and says, I'm the leader and the commander of God's army, and Joshua takes his shoes off, it's holy ground, and he speaks, and he tells them, listen, for the next 6 days, you guys are going to go around Jericho, keep your mouth shut, just don't say anything, please don't. God understood what happened the last time people got together and started like getting ready to start fighting and how they were murmuring and all the complaining and everything. And God said, just for the next 6 days, be quiet. Don't say anything. If you have any negative thoughts, keep it to yourself. So God begins. And so Joshua sends two spies into Jericho. And this is another thing that we me and my wife really began to discuss a lot this week, because, you know, it just so happens that these spies made their way to Rahab's place. Doesn't really go into too much detail, but Rahab was a prostitute. It's written in the Old Testament and in New Testament writers said that she was a prostitute. Somehow, some way, they made their way to her place. While they were there, the guards found out that they were spies of Israel and they were chasing after them. So she took the opportunity and hid them. Told the guards when they came knocking, we saw them. And they said, no, they've already left. You guys should just go ahead and go find them because they already left and the guards left. And the two spies, she began to speak to them and said, I've done something nice for you. I've done you a solid. Can you help a sister out? And they said, okay. And there's an interesting thing here that's spoken. That she said, I've done something nice for you. Now, I need a token of a promise from you. I'm getting lost in my notes here. I'm all over the place. Yeah. So, in Exodus chapter 4, verses 24 through 26. This is weird. Just follow me here. And it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him. This is Moses. The Lord met Moses and sought to kill him. This is the guy that God said, hey, you're going to go deliver my people. And now the Lord is trying to kill him. Verse 25. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely you are a husband of blood to me. So he let him go. Then she said, you are a husband of blood because of the circumcision. Moses was on his way to Egypt, and God intercepted him and tried to take him out. Why? Well, let's look at what God told Abraham. And I will make my covenant between me and you will multiply exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Next, chapter 5, verse 5, did I? And there, nope, should be 5. I'm sorry if I didn't include the next one. No longer shall your name be called Abraham, but Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Can we do 6? And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you after your descendants after in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Next. And I will give to you and your descendants the land and the land of Canaan in everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said, if for you, you shall keep my covenant and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after me. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Next, he was 8 days old. He was born in your house, bought with money. Any foreigner, anybody who is not your descendant, he was born in your house and he was bought with money, must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So Moses had a son that wasn't. And if you look into some historical context, you know, there's some Midianite culture going on here. There's debate on whether or not Moses had given up being a child of Israel versus whether or not he started accepting different customs for the different nations, and they had different rules on circumcision. Whatever the case may be, his son wasn't circumcised. And because of that, he'd broken off the covenant. Why is this important? Because in Joshua chapter 5, verses 2 through 3. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. In verse 4. Actually 2 and 3. I'm sorry, 2. Verse 2. And at that time, the Lord said, make flint knives, okay, and circumcise Israel. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the son of Israel and at the hill of the foreskins. And then the next few scriptures, which I didn't include, the next few scriptures talk about who got circumcised, the people in the wilderness and everything. Joshua made sure that the sign of the covenant was on everybody who was going into the promised land. Why? Because if he didn't, then they would have been broken off. Circumcision is a very, very personal thing. That was a joke. But it was a sign that you were part of the covenant. It was a sign that you had accepted that you were part of the covenant. It was a very personal thing. Now, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't get in church until I was 17 years old. And it was at the end of my senior year in high school. My wife invited me to church. And I went. I thought, she's hot. I'll go. And while I was there, God completely changed my life around. Then, after a few months, I went off to college in Greenville, North Carolina. And I noticed a lot of things over the next few years. And during college, spent a lot of time being part of the youth and being part of the youth events. And at one point in time, the youth were doing really well. There was 20, upwards of 30 young people in the group. And for a church of 200 people, that was significant. We had a really good youth going at that point in time. Kids were teaching Bible studies. People were getting the Holy Ghost. And it was just a really neat time. But over time, as they got older, I watched one after another, young person leaving the church, young person backsliding, young person getting caught up in stuff that they didn't need to get caught up in, and backsliding. And I would love to say that of those kids, those 20, 30 kids that I was in with in the youth, that they were all still in church and everyone was doing good and everyone was flourishing. At one point in time, it was probably maybe 3 or 4 of them left that actually had stayed in church. Why? Because it wasn't personal to them. You know, as a kid growing up, for kids who grow up in church, you know, you are under your parents' covering. You are under them. But then when they strike it on their own, it's not about what your parents are. It's not about who your mom is or your dad is or the relationship that they have with God. It's based upon what's my relationship with God. Is it personal for them? Being part of campus and trying to do campus ministry stuff and trying to work with kids on campus, we try to set up Bible studies. There's just a lot of different things that we tried to do. And we would get calls from pastors throughout the state saying, we got a kid coming. He's going to be going to college there. We got his information. And that kid would show up for orientation, and their parents would be there, and they would come to church, and they would see how the church works. And we get in contact, and we start, you know, chatting and everything. And then the next week, they would be in church, and their parents had already gone back. Hey, you're off to college. Have fun. We'll see you later. We'll see you at Thanksgiving and Christmas. The kid would come out, and then the next week, never saw him again. Call him, text him. Hey, you know, we're having services. Never took phone calls, never nothing. Why? Because for them, it wasn't personal. For them, I'm finally free of my parents, and I don't have to listen to what they tell me to do anymore. And it never became something personal to them. This covenant that God established with the children of Israel, time after time, he spoke to Abraham. This is for you, Abraham. And he went to Isaac, and he didn't give Isaac the same thing. He said, there's something different, but I want to establish with you. Those things that I did for Abraham, I want to do it with you, and I want to establish something with you. To Jacob, guess what? God said, I am the God of Abraham, and I'm the God of Isaac. He didn't say, I'm just the God of Abraham. Because Abraham accepted it and follow God. Isaac did it and follow God. And then Jacob had some things to work out. But eventually, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob. Is he your God today? This covenant relationship that God wants to establish with us. Hey, you're born again. Fantastic. I got the Holy Ghost. Fantastic. Do you have a relationship with God? Are you doing what you need to do to build your relationship with God? Is it based on something else or somebody else? Rahab made a covenant with the spies. I saved your life. Save mine. They said, okay. And she demanded a token. God said that the circumcision was a token of us accepting the covenant. And Rahab, ironically enough, said, give me a token. They said, you put down a scarlet rope out of your window, And when we go into the city, we'll pass over your house. We will not, anyone in there, we will spare. It's ironic how much this represents the Passover, how the children of Israel had to put blood over their doorpost. And anybody, if once that was done, the firstborn son in the house, God would just pass right over. She had a scarlet rope, and whoever was in that house, the children of Israel just passed over. Now, she wasn't an Israelite. But the Israelites accepted her. Deuteronomy 29, and I'm going to be finishing up here in just a second. 29 verses 10 through 15. Moses reestablishes a covenant with Israel. You are standing this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, the head of your tribes, your elders, your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, the sojourner in your camp, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, so that you may enter the sworn covenant of the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is making with you today, that he may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God, as he promised you, as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is not with you alone that I am making the sworn covenant, but with whoever is standing here with us today before the Lord our God, and whoever is not here with us today. I find that very interesting. Anyone who's not here today, God still wants to establish a covenant with them. Rahab asked for a token. And then when Joshua told them to go into the city, he said, go to Rahab's house and get all of them out and bring them out. And Rahab integrated into the children of Israel. And she was brought into this covenant. She eventually married a man, had a son, Boaz, who we'll learn later married Ruth. They had a child named Obed. They had a child named Jesse. They had a child named David, who became king over all of Israel. Because of one covenant that she made, she and her descendants became king over Israel. Why is this covenant stuff important? Why is it important? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12. It says, therefore, remember that you, Gentiles in the flesh, you were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Oh, thank God. Thank God that I have hope now. Thank God that I can have a covenant relationship with Jesus, that I can be born again through the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed. Thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Thank God. Thank God that I am born again of the water and the Spirit. I can enter into a covenant. But is this relationship with God mine? Is it yours? Joshua 24. He's about to die. And he begins to reiterate all the wonderful things that God had done for the children of Israel. All the cities that they've taken and all the kings and people that were slain. And he speaks to the children of Israel and he said, now fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the God which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, serve the Lord. As it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua had something going on. He had a personal relationship with God. Can we get 16 up? I know I didn't put that up there. I'm throwing you for a loop today. I know I got another minute. Let's see if we can get it. Keep going. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And then verse 17, for the Lord our God. Something happened. And now the people, it wasn't the Lord your God. It's the Lord our God. They have seen the miraculous provision of God. They've seen him go from city to city, and they've been brought into the land. And now it's personal. He's no longer the Lord your God. And I did a search. I did a search, and I was looking for it. There was a lot of times that Moses spoke, it's the Lord our God, but never once did the children of Israel said it was the Lord our God until this point. It's now personal. What about you today? Let's stand. Let's stand. God has so many wonderful blessings, so many wonderful things that he can do for us and through us and by us. But is our relationship with him ours? Is it really you and establishing your covenant with him? Let's pray this morning. Jesus, we thank you, God, for this wonderful time this morning, God, and this opportunity to be in your house, to worship, to magnify you, to exalt you, God. Lord, I want you to be my God. I want my relationship with you to grow, God. I want to establish my relationship with you, Jesus, because you are so good. You are so great, God. And I'm just asking that your hand would move over this congregation today, God, that you would move your spirit over us, God. Lord, and speak to each one of us, God, your promises, your provision, God, the glory of your wonderful name, God. And I believe you today, God, that you would continue to move and bring people to this house, God, so that you can move over them, that you could bless them, and that you can bring your relationship, Lord, to them, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I am obligated today